I'd like to read to you from, got that microphone, thanks, from Mark chapter 10, verses 45 through to 52. You'll find that on page 822 and 823 of your pew Bibles, if you're looking there, and it'll be behind me on the screen. So Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Friends, at the beginning of a new year, we need to be reminded again to see all people from God's perspective. To see all people from God's perspective, that everyone, no matter how broken, is valuable in God's sight. That everyone deserves a chance to experience God's grace in salvation and transformation. And maybe it is for you this morning, as you gather here at Ngawi Baptist Church, maybe it's a message you need to hear, that God offers you a second chance. God offers you a chance to get into a right relationship with him, to start the year well. Because no matter who you are, what you've done, God offers second chances. It's a scene from the 1987 movie, we're going back a few years, called Ironweed. There's two characters, Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep, when they're a little bit younger, stumbling across, and they were vagrants themselves, stumbling across an old Eskimo woman. She's lying in the snow, probably drunk. The two debate amongst themselves about her. Nicholson asks, "Is she drunk or is she a bum?" "Oh, just a bum, been one all of her life." "And before that, what was she?" "Oh, she was a whore in Alaska." "Well, she hasn't been a whore all her life. Before that, what was she?" "I don't know, just a little kid, I guess." "Well, a little kid's something. It's not a bum and it's not a whore. It's something. Let's take her in." And they took her in to look after her. And Philip Yancey, who tells this story, says, "The two vagrants were seeing an Eskimo woman through the lens of grace. Where society only saw a bum and a whore, grace or a little kid, a person made in the image of God, no matter how defaced that image had become." Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to show his grace and his mercy to a fallen humanity. Everyone is valuable. And Jesus, in this passage in Mark, is on the way to the cross. His death on a cross. And it's interesting that today is Epiphany, January the 6th. In the Greek Orthodox Church, on this day, they remember Jesus' baptism. When the Father speaks and says, "This is my Son," who ends up being the Saviour. The Catholic and the Protestant worlds remember something else at Epiphany. They remember when the kings came to Jesus to worship him. They are Gentile kings. They are outside of God's people. They are aliens. Yet even the aliens, the outsiders, come to worship the king. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you can come and worship Jesus. And friends, firstly, Jesus went to the cross to bring us mercy. We have the mercy theme this morning. In verse 32, Mark 10, this wasn't read to us. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside, and he told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. they'll condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. In Luke's gospel, we have these words: we are about to go up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. In other words, in the death of Jesus, we have the fulfillment of the prophets. Friends, everything that happened in the life of Jesus was planned and came to fulfillment. Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection were no plan B or a backup plan. It's not as if God's plan A failed and therefore God had to come up with plan B. Oops, they killed him. What do we do now? I had someone say to me once, I never knew that. Plan A, in the sovereign purposes of God, is that God will step into human history at Christmas. He would live a perfect life, but he was always heading to the cross and to the resurrection. See, Isaiah 52 and 53 speak about the suffering of Jesus. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I remember a Jewish friend once did an evangelistic course with us, and when he read these verses, he was converted. When he read these verses, he saw that there was fulfillment in Jesus. It had been prophesied in his own scriptures that Christ would suffer and take our punishment upon himself. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Son of God was handed over to the Gentiles, underwent great humiliation, mocked, insulted, spat on, flogged, and killed. By so doing, he paid the ransom price to set us free from death and judgment. And even as you know, on the cross, he offered mercy to a condemned criminal. Today you'll be with me in paradise. There's something beautiful about mercy and about grace, isn't there? In 1992, a man named Reginald Denny, a truck driver who was assaulted during the riots in South Central Los Angeles, demonstrated the power of grace and mercy. I remember this incident, and many of you will as well. We had it on our television screens. There's a helicopter on top. And downstairs in this major riot is this guy in a truck. And two men smashed his truck window with a brick, hauled him from the cab, and we watched this on video. They beat him with a broken bottle and kicked him until the side of his face caved in. In court, the tormentors were belligerent, unrepentant, and they yielded no ground. Yet with the worldwide media looking on, Reginald Denny, his face still badly swollen, shook off the protests of his lawyers. He made his way to the mothers of the two defendants, hugged them, and told them he forgave them. Right? Arms around them, he forgave them. The mothers then embraced Denny, one declaring, "I love you." The power of grace, the power of mercy. Friends, Jesus showed his mercy to a murderous religious fanatic, Saul of Tarsus, who became the transformed Apostle Paul, the great apostle and missionary. Jesus showed his mercy to me as an ordinary Greek kid growing up in Marrickville. He sent someone to tell me about Jesus, the one who died and rose again from the dead, who offers mercy to all who would come to him and call out for mercy. And Jesus has shown mercy to you. Many of you love and trust Christ. You've come to him. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been erased from the record because they've been nailed to a cross. And when you are grasped by that gospel message, it transforms everything. It transforms how you pray, how you spend your money, how you live your life. When you get that gospel, that God, the God of the universe, the one who said on the day of Epiphany, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." The one on the day of Epiphany, even the alien kings came to worship. When you know him, he transforms everything. But secondly, he shows mercy here specifically to those who cry out for mercy. I love this blind beggar. It's an amazing story of God's mercy. See, friends, Jesus is in Jericho, about 18 miles or 30 kilometers northeast of Jerusalem, and there's a large crowd following him. There's a blind man begging by the side of the road. And if you've ever been in Asia, in other parts of the world, there are blind men, there are crippled men and women, boys and girls by the side of the road, calling out for help, normally for some money. But here's this man calling out for help. And he knows there's a crowd coming through, and in Luke's gospel, he asked what was happening. "Hey, guys, what's going on? Who's coming?" Because as a blind man, you hear very well, right? You're listening to every word, every step. And he knows something significant is happening. And he's by the side of the road. They tell him that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And clearly this man has heard of Jesus of Nazareth because he wants to see him. Maybe he has heard that Jesus loves the poor and the broken. Maybe he has heard that he heals the lame, the lepers, and the blind. This is his chance, right? He's heard about him. So he calls out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He's trying to make himself heard above the crowd. There's a large crowd, we're told. There's probably a lot of people talking, but his voice carries. He makes such a loud noise that the people around him try to shut him up. Friends, when you are in need, you call out, right? He's there. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And they rebuked him and told him to be quiet. And he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Say, shut up, you poor, irrelevant person. You're a blind man. You don't matter. Important people are walking down these streets. Shut up. Keep quiet. Or we'll shut you up. He will not shut up. A few years ago, I was down at Riverwood Shopping Centre. It was opposite where the Commonwealth Bank used to be. And I come out of the bank and I heard this child screaming, crying as a little girl. She was in a car, screaming and crying. And her mother was trying to get her to keep quiet. And I'm just walking towards her. I thought, she's shouting at her and this kid is still crying and screaming. She would not stop. And then I noticed something. Her fingers were jammed in the car door. And just as I started to run towards her, her mother noticed and opened the door. That kid was not going to stop crying and shouting until she got the help she needed. Amen? Right? And by the side of the road, blind Bartimaeus, he's not shutting up. You can say whatever you like. Here's his one chance for mercy. His one chance for grace. His one chance for healing. His one chance for deliverance. He said, nothing you say was going to stop me. I hear Jesus is coming this way. Friends, I wish I had the same love and passion for Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I want to live for him. I want to give my life to him. I want to tell other people about him. 2019 has to be that type of year. I want to be like this blind fella by the side of the road saying, "Jesus, it's all you." Friends, the Bible makes it clear the kingdom of God, it belongs to the least, the last, and the left out of society. Don't push people out of the way. Everyone matters. Everyone can come back to God. So we read in the Gospels that there was a rich young ruler. When he heard of the demands of following Christ, he walked away. You have the religious leaders who fail to appreciate who Jesus is and say he is of Satan. There's this blind outcast, "Son of David, you're a king." I'm calling out until I get the help I need. And this guy's aware of his wretched condition. Let's be very clear about it. He knows that he's broken. He knows he has a need. He knows he needs help. And he calls out for mercy. But secondly, he displays penetrating insight into the person of Christ. Son of David, have mercy on me. Someone once asked the blind and deaf Helen Keller, "Isn't it terrible to be blind?" To which she responded, "Better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing." Isn't it better to be blind and see with your heart than to have two good eyes and see nothing? And thirdly, his passionate persistence was amazing. In one sense, spiritual blessings belong to those who go for it, who seek God, who want that answer. Sure, God is at work drawing us, but God calls us to seek and we will find. So therefore, Jesus then calls the blind beggar. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Everyone's been telling him to shut up. Everyone's been telling him to keep quiet. The crowd is following. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem where he will be nailed to a Roman cross. He stops. "Call him." They call to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Can you imagine this blind guy? Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. I'd be jumping too. If only we would just jump so quickly to Christ and his word and his truth and his mission. Jesus calls him and he's up. A bit like Zacchaeus when he's up on the tree. Jesus says, "Oh, I'm coming to your house." He jumps down out of the tree, right? When you know you have a need and the Master, the King of the universe, calls you, you come. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. See, the crowd is wrong. They tell him to stay away, to keep quiet. Jesus is not interested in people like him. And Jesus says, "Yes, I am." Heals him. And then what I love about this man, he then follows Jesus. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He didn't just get his healing and run away. He followed Jesus. He becomes a disciple, a follower of him. Friends, the Greek word translated healed in the NIV is really the word saved. He's healed, he's saved. It means physical healing, but also maybe far more here. And the fact that he follows Jesus down the road might be having, I guess, a great significance to that word healed. He's physically healed, but also spiritually healed. Friends, there's nothing more that I would want to see in 2019, to see more people experience the mercy and the grace of God. That would be calling out to Jesus because of who he is. And Philip Yancey, in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, tells a story about a video that was made on the song Amazing Grace. And it said Bill Moyes had a documentary called Amazing Grace and includes, he says, a scene filmed in Wembley Stadium in London. Now, I've watched a lot of football games in Wembley Stadium on television. Maybe one day I'll get to it. But here it was a musical concert. They were celebrating the changes in South Africa. And there were bands, all types of rock bands and heavy metal bands. He says Guns N' Roses were singing and people were high on booze and dope and all other things. But they booked this opera singer, Jesse Norman, as the closing act. People have been partying and rocking all day, this celebration. And in this video on Amazing Grace, they're interviewing Jesse and telling some of the story of Amazing Grace on how John Newton had been a slave trader, had been converted by God, ultimately worked with William Wilberforce to fight against slavery later on in his life, and how John Newton knew that he was a wretch that needed saving. He was terrible. It was only the Christ who could bring mercy and forgiveness to him. And it says in the film, Jesse Norman tells Bill Moyes that Newton may have borrowed an old tune sung by the slaves themselves, redeeming the song just as he had been redeemed. And then time comes for her to sing. You know, big stadium, people drunk, on drugs, and she gets up. She comes out in one of those majestic African-American women wearing a flowing African dashiki. That's a lovely big shirt that they wear. She strolls on stage. There's no backup band, no musical instruments, just Jessie. The crowd stirs, it's restless. Few recognize who she is. Just one woman walking up on stage. A voice yells for more Guns N' Roses. Others take up the cry. The scene is getting ugly, he writes. Alone, a cappella, Jessie Norman begins to sing very slowly. Hundreds of thousands of people. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He said, a remarkable thing happens in Wembley Stadium that night. 70,000 raucous fans fall silent before her aria of grace. By the time Norman reaches the second verse, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, the soprano has the crowd in her hands. By the time she reaches the third verse, 'tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Several thousand fans are singing along, digging far back in nearly lost memories for words they heard long ago. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Jessie Norman, he says, later confessed she had no idea what power descended on Wembley Stadium that night. Yancey says, I think I know. The world thirsts for grace. When grace descends, the world falls silent before it. Friends, we have a word of mercy. We had a gospel of grace. May God help us to embrace it, to live it, and to proclaim it in 2019. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy through Christ our Saviour. We thank you that forgiveness and a new start is available to all who would call out to you for mercy. Lord, I do pray for anyone gathered here this morning. They need to cry out for mercy. Remind them that they are loved by you. You're God of forgiveness and of new starts. May we start well in 2019. And may we share this good news with others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.